Glocks with six magazines between them, his own small bag of supplies, and some gas masks for the next building full of dead people. He was also running low on cigarettes. The really good stuff in the boot was the magic door-opening kit, pry bars, hydraulic openers, and the ever-reliable ram. He threw his own small bag in the back and opened the windows to pry and purge the smell. A forlorn look at the diesel pump sitting proudly in the car park made him wonder. He didn't have the knowledge or the tools to siphon it out, nor did he have anything to carry any spare fuel in. Alone, dazed, and scared, he headed out without really knowing where he was going. He drove aimlessly for a while, ideas struggling to take form in his post-traumatic head. He stopped on a large abandoned garage forecourt and tried the pumps. No power. He wandered inside after forcing open the sliding doors and picked up a basket. Strolling from aisle to aisle, he hummed to himself as if he were just grabbing some things in no great rush. Exactly what he was doing 2 days ago, in fact, before he got a call from her to say she and the kids were unwell. The humming turned into a croak, which became a sob. It was all he could do not to lose it right there and then. He screwed his eyes tight shut and forced himself to breathe, trying to forget the last memory of his family. "There's nothing you can do about it," he said to himself softly over and over. It didn't work, and he crumpled to the floor, finally letting the tears and the anger and the fear wash over him. Neil. Neil was a broken man, destroyed. He had cared for his wife and boys all night as they coughed in agony. At first he was worried that all three had displayed the same symptoms, but when they got worse quickly, his concerns became panic. He was sure they had been poisoned. He tried to think what he had consumed that was different to them, but couldn't think as he was running between them as the horrible, racking, deep coughing fits hit them again in turn. He called 999 and got an engaged tone. He tried again. On the 10th or 11th time he tried for an ambulance, he received a dead tone in answer. He lost control then. He was exhausted and blinded by fear. He ran to his neighbor to ask for help and hammered on his door fit to wake the dead. He got no response, so he ran to look through the only window where he could see light. He saw his neighbor on the floor clutching his stomach and coughing uncontrollably. Neil went back to his family. All three were in the lounge where he could look after them all in one place. They were gray-skinned, blue-lipped, and incoherent with pain and exhaustion. He couldn't understand it. They had all been fine this morning. His thoughts of poisoning had been diluted by seeing his neighbor with the same illness. Something in the water? No, he had drunk the tap water too that day and he was fine. It couldn't be poison. It had to be something else. Just as he was thinking, in between soothing one of them, the lights went out. Plunged into darkness, Neil cried as he held his family. One by one, they stopped coughing. Neil sat there for hours, long after the pins and needles took hold and numbed his legs. He was still sitting there clutching them as the sun rose and bathed his family in warm light. They were gone, and he was alone. Good sense tried to make a reappearance. Neil tried the phones again and checked the fuse box. No phones, no power. He looked through neighbors' windows and found the same tragic story in all of them. He was in a ghost town. He stood in the middle of the road, which normally would be queued with traffic by now. He turned a circle and bawled, "Anybody!" at the top of his lungs, leaving him short of breath. He was alone. He returned home in a trance and started to dig three holes of different sizes in his back garden. He was proud of his garden, having spent a couple of years working on it. They liked to sit outside and watch the boys play, or more usually fight, on the grass while they sipped their drinks and relaxed. Now his garden was three knee-deep rectangular holes. He carried out his wife and his two sons one by one and laid them gently to their permanent rest. He cried aloud again as he filled the earth back in over the holes, patting it down gently as he didn't want to hurt any of them.